yêu gì khác đôi nhé, chỉ còn vẻ là lắc cho đời ta chứ.
Covering you from your LB1 to your taxi squad, this is IDP Nation.
Manning back, pumps, he fires to the far side, it's intercepted, and running into a touchdown!
Your home for the best in IDP and draft coverage.
Daniel has time in the pocket, steps up, and he's going to be hit from the side, and he's going down, that's a sack.
Here are the hosts of IDP Nation, Hollywood and Kyle B.
Welcome back to IDP Nation. I'm Hollywood Titan. I've got Sean Teague with me. And guess who's back? Mr. Big Time Kylina himself.
Well, thanks for that awesome introduction. I can just tell by the joy in your voice you're happy to see me.
Super
excited. Well, I'm just glad you could grace us with your presence.
Here we go. I'm just happy you guys let me join you, to be honest, man. I thought I might have been fired for good.
Blew our entire budget to get him back.
That's good. That's real good.
How you been, buddy?
I've been good, man. Been crazy busy for a while here. And it's good to be back, man. It's good to be hanging with you boys and talking some ball here. I'm excited. And I'm just happy you guys let me jump back on after probably being fired, I don't know, at least a dozen times since I've been gone.
Give or take.
Well,
I know the only reason I'm back is Sean put in a good word.
Yeah.
He did. We had a board meeting before you jumped on, and we really had to dig through some stuff about you.
Right. Yeah. Right. Pulled some strings, talked to the board. We worked it out. So
I appreciate it, man.
Anyway, glad you're back. We've missed you.
Glad to be
back. I mean, there's only so much Sean I can put up with. I mean,
yeah.
Right.
Damn.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to be back.
Also, Hollywood's going through a hard time seeing Travis Kelce with his woman, Taylor Swift. So we're trying
that's
to.
That's off.
That's it. You're fucking fired.
trying to boost his spirits.
That's it. I ain't wasting no time tonight.
Yeah.
You're fired.
2 minutes, 50 seconds.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah. Well, you guys have a good one.
I started to say that might be a record, but Kyle has been a co-host, so I'm sure at some point he's been fired a lot quicker than that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, but for you, that's a record, though.
Yeah. I'm getting better or worse. I don't know.
I'm getting better. Oh, shoot. Well, I guess everybody's tired of hearing us bullshit. We could probably talk some football, I guess. One of you want to leave the news and notes? I mean, you go right ahead. Or I can do it.
I don't care. Hey.
Not everybody wants here.
Right. All right. I'll start it.
Okay.
Actually, should we let Sean start it? The Miami Dolphins talk right away.
No, because he gets too much pleasure out of this. No.
All right, I'll lead it off to him. The Miami Dolphins scored the third most points, 70, in league history this Sunday. Sean, instant reaction.
They did it with absolute ease. There was zero resistance by the Denver Broncos. It was at the Miami's mercy that it didn't go any higher. So, complete.
You know, they would have had more resistance if Denver was deadbeat.
I've never seen a beatdown like that. Like this is,
yeah,
it was bad. I've never seen, not on the professional level like that. Like I've seen some pretty good ass whoopings, but never like that.
And they didn't have Waddle.
True. And Jalen Phillips got dinged, right? I mean, like,
oh yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's insane. The point nowadays, it's usually 50s, mid-50s, and that's kind of a pretty good ass-whooping, right? But to hang 70 somebody on somebody in the NFL, that's That's insane.
I've never seen it.
Yeah. And like you said, Sean, it could have been more, right?
Yeah, it really could have.
They wanted to. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they took a knee on fourth down, you know, which.
Yeah, instead of kicking the field goal.
Yeah. So, I mean, when the backups come in and start dropping bombs and busting off 50-yard runs, like that's giving up on a whole nother level.
Yeah. Yeah, I love seeing Mike White throw a tutty.
Yeah, that's like a 60-some yard bomb. Yeah. There's no reason anybody should be still on Denver's coaching staff right now, like any of them.
Well, unbelievable. For them to give up, that would imply that they started, and I don't know that they even got off the bus.
Cool.
This was horrible.
It was bad. I do wonder, had Justin Simmons been in there for Denver, if it would only been like 50 points.
58 points?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Might have held him to 60.
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. Unreal. Next piece of news. The Baltimore Ravens signed outside linebacker Kyle Van Noy to the practice squad. I believe David Ojabo got hurt this week. And Odafe Owe out as well.
I think he was already dinged up.
Yeah, he was already. So it was like Jadeveon Clowney and Tavarius Johnson. Their edge group's dinged up big time.
Yeah, it's not looking good.
Van Noy, he just
kind of surprised somebody didn't pick Van Noy up before now, though.
Right. Yeah, he showed a little bit last year. And
He had, what, 5 or 6 sacks, I think?
Tavarius Robinson, that's what I was thinking about, not Johnson.
Robinson, yeah.
Him and Clowney led the way. Any interest in Van Noy? You guys? No.
No, I got nothing.
Not really.
Okay. Here's a guy who's earned some money. The New Orleans Saints signed defensive end Carl Granderson to a 4-year, $52 million deal. Love it. You guys? Yeah,
good for him, man. That's great. Yeah. Especially he went undrafted, right?
Yep.
Yeah. After there's some problems there in college or whatever. But he should have been a pretty decent draft pick. So it's good to see him turn his career around and cash in.
Yeah. Well, with Davenport finally out of the way, right? Who just never panned out, it's finally his turn. So not a bad deal. It's not going to cost them a whole lot, but for a pass rusher anyway, I mean, it could be worse. So
Peyton Turner didn't work out either.
Exactly. Good call, Sean. I was just going to say that. And, you know, they spent the first round pick on Peyton Turner, who's, you know, showed glimpses, but he just can't stay healthy. And Davenport is finally gone. He couldn't stay healthy when he was there. And Granderson played well, especially down the stretch last year. And he's had a nice start to this year. He's got a couple sacks to begin the year. He's played well. And I mean, lock him up, right? And maybe, you know, when Cam Jordan's ready to hang her up, maybe Foskey develops into the other guy and, you know, they get a couple pass rushers that can stay healthy for him. But good for Granderson.
Foskey got like 4 tackles on like 11 plays or something. Like he went off there in a short amount of time. So I want to see them 2 team up a little more. Jordan isn't getting it done right now. So,
yeah, I'm with you, man. For sure. We had a bunch of injury news in here. I think me and Sean were messaging before we got on here. We probably do the whole show just on injuries.
Oh, yeah. It's a massacre out here.
The Denver Broncos safety Caden Stearns is expected to miss the rest of the season with a torn patellar tendon. And as Sean noted, when we were talking Dolphins, Justin Simmons was inactive with a hip injury this week. So, yeah, not great on the back end there, and not a great week to be without. You know, Justin Simmons is one of the best players on that defense, and not a great week to not have him on the back end when you're playing the Dolphins, right?
In his defense, that's the best move he could have ever done was come up with an injury.
Yeah.
Man, Caden Stearns just can't stay healthy either, right? Like, we've been waiting for him to kind of pop off, and he's kind of going that Peyton Turner route. He can't stay healthy either.
Yep.
But when he is healthy, he's a playmaker for him. So
what happened here? Oh my God. I was just watching the Cubs blow the lead here. So, yeah. So with the Denver safeties this week, it was Kareem Jackson and DeLaron Turner Yell. So if Simmons isn't able to make it back, there's your two starters with Caden Stearns not making it back either. Another team that's quite banged up. The Carolina Panthers lost linebacker Shaq Thompson. That was last Monday night for the season with a broken fibula and could lose safety Xavier Woods for 4 to 6 weeks. Frankie Louvu also exited this week's game early with a hip injury. There is a lot of injuries going around that Carolina team right now.
Yeah, so Deion Jones, are we buying in on him? I know I've got him listed down here in some waiver wire pickups, but you guys in on Deion Jones? I know Sean plays a lot of redraft.
It would have to be a really, really deep league. I did jump on Bruiser Hill when he came in for Shaq, but I don't know, man. Deion Jones just looked so bad last year that I'm going to have to see something before I just rush out and get him. But it had to be a deep league.
Right. Deep league. Yeah, it was kind of crazy because Thompson got hurt last Monday night. Then it was Grugier Hill who stepped in. Mm-hmm. And Grugier Hill's not necessarily a great NFL linebacker, but for IDP, he does get you tackles pretty solidly, you know, each week when he's in there for a decent snap share. But, you know, it was assumed that Grugier Hill would be rolling out with Louvu to start the game, and it was Deion Jones, like you guys said. So that's just, you know, we classic IDP right there, right? We think one thing, another happens. It was just like, you know, Philadelphia pulled when Dean went out. Christian Ellis filled in when Dean got hurt. Then they pulled Morrow off the practice squad, went with the old vet. I mean, Grugier Hill is a vet himself. But anyway, I'm with you guys. Deion Jones in a deep league, sure, because Thompson's out. Obviously, he's not coming back out for the year. We don't know how severe Louvu's injury is yet. We're going to find out during the week, right? They're going to need to lean on those two guys. Both of them likely. Which one's going to get a full-time role? Who knows, right? You know, I wrote in my waiver article this week, if you can grab them both just to see what the hell happens, might not be a bad idea, but Jones might have the upper hand since he got the start. I don't know. It's a tough one. Yeah, right. But we're talking deep leagues, like you guys said.
Man, if I'm Carolina, I'm moving Chin down there to the linebacker spot. Let's just put him down there and turn him loose. Turn him loose.
Good. I like that call. It's a good call.
It's not going to happen, but
that's right. Just because it makes sense and we want it to happen, it won't.
Makes too much, right?
Right. Yeah. No, I like that call, but yeah, let's just hope. Arizona Cardinals play safety Buda Baker on IR with a hamstring injury. He won't be eligible to return until week 7. I picked up Kayvon Wallace in a few leagues last week. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, I grabbed him as well.
Yeah, he should be solid here down the stretch filling in. Texas.
Yeah, I got beat him in a few places.
Oh, did you? Yeah, you grabbed him too. Yeah, I mean, he was available in quite a few leagues that I was in. And yeah, he should be solid for a few weeks here till Baker makes his return.
Yeah.
Texas beat writer Aaron Wilson says safety Jalen Petre is expected to return to practice this week. We haven't seen him since week 1, right? It was a chest injury. I believe he had to bruise lung. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. That's tough. Oh man, that's a tough injury. And then, Jimmy Ward
and everything. That was,
Jesus.
Yeah. So I think they ended up rushing him to the hospital.
Yeah,
and he stayed overnight or whatever, and I guess it was good enough to get out. But yeah, so just now getting back to practice. So, does that mean he plays this week? What do you think? Good enough to practice. You almost got to be good enough to play, right?
Yeah. I would definitely like to see like what he's doing. Is he just stretching out, running around? If he's in there, right?
Right.
Yeah, I'm with you though. If he's back on the field, he's got a shot. Brutal though, man. Dang. And then Jimmy Ward finally made his first appearance this year too. So, you know, the Texans pull off the upset, right? And then might get their two safeties back to go along with it. So
things are looking up.
Yeah, right. How about it? Josie Jewell exited Denver's week 3 game early with a groin injury, leading to rookie Drew Sanders seeing his most game action. So Sanders didn't do much. He only had one assist to tackle, I believe it was. But I mean, I'm a Sanders fan. I think there's, I'm excited to see him play, not at Jewell's expense, but I think, you know, as Sanders, you know, gets his feet wet a little bit here, gets, you know, obviously see a little bit more production, but I'm intrigued. I mean, I hope Jewell is able to come back, but what do you guys think? You guys interested in Sanders at all?
I mean, if I've got him, I do, but I don't know that I have any shares of him because he always got drafted a little higher than what I was willing to draft him at or put into him. So I don't think I have any shares of him anywhere. But, yeah, I mean, if you've got him, you encouraged if he gets the full role, but I'd rather have Jewell, I think. He's more of a complete linebacker.
The problem I'm seeing so far with Denver is that both Jewell and Alex Singleton haven't really done much.
Mm-hmm.
For, you know, in any of the games, that's a bit concerning that neither one of them are really popping off. So I'm wondering if it's not going to matter who's back there at this point with the way that defense is.
Yeah, no, that's
well. If I'm picking one, I'm taking Jewell though because Singleton is way off pace.
Right. He did step into the lead role when Jewell left, and then Sanders slid into his role, which isn't necessarily a full-time gig. Mm-hmm. But so Singleton, you know, is the more appealing if Jewell is of the two, if Jewell's out. But, you know, I'm just kind of intrigued to see Sanders get out there and see what he can do. You know, there's a lot of talk about him leading up to the year. You know, they were talking about him playing off ball and getting some edge snaps as a pressure player, quote unquote. So I was kind of curious if they were going to sneak him in, you know, in some packages maybe, but he only played like 4 or 5 snaps before this week. But, you know, I hope Jewell could come back, but yeah, it's but Sean, you nailed it. It hasn't really been much going on at those two spots, right, to start the year like we expected. So,
yeah, those guys were, you know, being projected at least one of them in the top, you know, 12 or so, and the other one just outside of it. And we're not getting anything really out of either one. Like I say, I wonder if it's just because that defense is the way it is right now, if, you know, we should all just kind of temper our expectations for all of them.
Yep. Yeah. No, man, that's a fair call for sure. Devondre Campbell was forced out of Green Bay's week 3 game in the first half with an ankle injury and was unable to make it back. I was actually at the game, and
so it's your fault.
Yeah, it's my fault. It is my fault. Yeah. And it is my fault. And you know, it was all of a sudden I'm seeing number 58 Isaiah McDuffie out there, and I'm going, oh, what's going on here? And then boom, because the Packers are banged up as it is, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're hurt all over. I'm like, oh, here we go. But yeah, anyway, so yeah, Campbell wasn't able to make it back with the ankle. McDuffie took over the majority of his snap share. Eric Wilson did sneak in there a little bit. He did get a few nickel snaps. I think they were trying to kind of figure out how that was going to go, but I think Wilson only ended up playing like 8 or 9 snaps. McDuffie took on most of the workload. He's been their top reserve the last, you know, last year and this year. He's a solid guy, you know. You know, he holds his own, and he'll get you some tackles if he gets a decent workload. I don't think he's going to have a full-time share necessarily filling in for Campbell, but it'd be enough in a deep league if you need a spot start or fill in. But
what I was going to ask, if Campbell misses any time at all, McDuffie's the guy that you would pick up, I think.
Yeah, I would. That would be my guy.
I've actually got a couple waiver bids out for him right now, because it is a short week for Green Bay, and I'm concerned that Campbell won't be able to play this week. Because it is such a quick turnaround for the Thursday night game. So at least this week, I'm trying to pick up McDuffie, because I do think he's a bit of a thumper. So he'll rack up some, you know, tackles there.
Yeah, no, I absolutely. The the Thursday night game doesn't bode well for Campbell because he was ruled out pretty quickly too. And
yeah, it was right away.
Green Bay's generally pretty cautious with injuries. You know, they don't push the envelope with the guys. And yeah, if I had to guess, I don't think Campbell's going. I'm with Deshaun. And McDuffie he's usually pretty solid when he's in there. What, you know, when he gets a decent amount of runs. So I mean, yeah, if you need a guy. And we're entering, it's only week three, and we're in, as Johnny the Greek would say, warm body production season
right.
already. So
yeah. Is he on the field? Putting yeah. a new lineup. Yeah. Yep. It's getting bad, especially after this week.
Yep. And it's, I mean, the next couple blurbs here are going to be nothing but the same. Atlanta plays second year linebacker Troy Anderson in IR with a pectoral injury. I mean, brutal, right?
Yeah.
I believe he suffered it like right at the end too. He played most of the game, looking at the snap share.
Just such bad luck, right? Just almost be out of the game and have something like that happen.
Yeah. John, you interested in Nate Landman?
In his spot.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I'm not rushing to get him. I'm definitely taking McDuffie over him right now. I don't know what his chair is going to be. I know Caden Ellis stepped up the last time Anderson was out. So I'm going to have to see it before I go pick him up.
Yep. Right. Daryl, what do you think?
I mean, I guess if you're in like DWC that we play in, sure, you know, he's definitely worth having there. But
I
mean, there's huge value there, but. I guess in your normal leagues, I think they would have to be pretty deep roster leagues for me to want to take a shot on him. I mean, he's worth picking up maybe for a week or two as, you know, just in case, you know.
Yeah.
But other than that, I don't – if it's a shallow league, I'm probably not picking him up at all.
Yeah. No, I'm with you guys. Yeah, for sure. Last bit of news here. Derwin James – was forced from Los Angeles week three game against the Vikings with a hamstring injury. This is the huge with Derwin. He's awesome when he's out there, but you know, it just seems like he fights one of these type of injuries at some point. Bummer.
I'm shocked.
Yeah.
I can see your, I can see you had the shocked face on, Sean.
So far he has said it's not that serious. So yeah.
Heavy. Okay.
If you believe his word, they're acting like it's nothing major yet. I didn't hear anything about an MRI being, you know, anything major either. So I would imagine that'd be pretty big news, as big of a star as he is. So maybe he plays. So it'll be the next one that gets him.
That's fair.
Right.
Well, that's the last of our news and notes.
Yeah.
I mean, so, we could probably find four or five more injuries.
Yeah, I don't feel like we tried very hard, but.
And it's been a horrible year already for injuries. Rodgers played four plays and was out. Nick Chubb's out. Yeah. Derek Carr's looking at maybe missing a little bit of time.
Mike Williams. Just towards ACL.
Williams, it's just been a hit parade of injuries. And
got fishbowl roster.
Yeah.
I lost Dobbins and Rodgers week one. I just lost Carr. I'm getting ready to throw an embarrassing amount of money at Jameis Winston this week. So I was already down to Zach Wilson. Actually, I started Andy Dalton last week. I was able to pick him up, so that paid off pretty well.
But I was gonna say that wasn't horrible at all. Yeah,
but it's been brutal, man. Injuries, and that's just that league. I've been losing defenders left and right, which we just named half of them, in a lot of leagues too. So this is where you got to dig through the waivers and keep finding players, keep putting players in there, and this will decide if you have a good season or, you know, just give up and quit, you know. That's
absolutely stick with it.
Yeah You did when injuries hit like this, you definitely got to do some homework and start digging into depth charts and waiver wires and even some trades before people kind of catch on, right? You're trying to sneak in some trades and get a player before everybody realizes what's happening or whatever. So,
make some moves and stay alive as long as you can. That's all you can do.
This is the part of the season I like. Yeah. Like, you know, it sucks to have all these injuries, but when you sit there and you put in a bunch of research and dig through all the, you know, trash on the waivers and somehow sneak into the playoffs, I mean, it feels like you actually did something instead of just cruising to your undefeated season. Must be awful.
Right. So we picked some players of the week this week. A lot of good players stepping up. So I took Myles Garrett. And I've been, if you've been watching Shoot the Gap, I've kind of been picking on Tennessee's offensive line. Mm-hmm. And that's not going to stop. So whoever's playing Tennessee, if they have a good pass rusher, hell, even if they don't have a good pass rusher, I would start them because they suck. But I took Myles Garrett, 5 tackles, 4 solos. That's an 80% solo rate, 3 TFLs, 5 quarterback hits, 3.5 sacks, and a forced fumble. He was a one-man wrecking crew and just annihilated Tennessee. And, man, Cleveland's looking pretty good defensively, right?
Yeah, I mean, if Deshaun Watson and can then, pick up his play, that team could be.
Yeah, as long as the defense can kind of give him the lead, I think that's the key, right? If they can give him the lead where he can kind of relax and be comfortable, I think it makes it a lot easier on him. But and then my other one is Alante Taylor. 5 tackles, 5 solos, so 100% solo rate, 2 TFLs, a quarterback hit, a sack, and 5 PBUs. He was everywhere. And if you play in position-specific leagues, you're probably getting bonuses or premiums for corners. So a huge, huge week for Alante Taylor, too.
Yeah, especially if you, like you said, in the like true position leagues and you score those pass breakups correctly, that's those racking up 5 of those is big. Yeah, I like that call.
Yeah, they didn't lose the game because of him. I mean, that was he looked really good.
No, they did not.
Yeah, he played well. Yeah.
Like, as a real football player, like he looked good on screen and everything too. So, but yeah, that's huge. 5 pass breakups like that. It's usually pretty big points.
Former Vol too, Hollywood.
That's right. Who do you have for players of the week?
Yeah. So we finally got to see the Kyle Hamilton big game, right? It took 3 weeks, but we got there. Kyle Hamilton had a massive week. 9 tackles, 7 solos. 2 tackles for loss, 3 sacks, 3 quarterback hits, a forced fumble, and a pass defended. We've been waiting for this game from Hamilton all year, and it finally happened. And I'm here for it. Let's keep it going, right? Do you guys have him anywhere?
Absolutely.
I dropped him right before the game.
Did you?
I picked up Geno Stone.
Okay, yeah.
So that was that was a kick in the ass there, but
I like Geno. He's going to be a good player at that.
Geno did good. He gave me it was three safeties. Hamilton wasn't quite doing it for me, and there was Geno sitting there. So I thought maybe his role would have been the one to have gotten 3 sacks, but it worked out the way it did. So. I might be able to pick him back up, but I doubt it.
I was just going to say, never know, man. But, hey, it finally happened. It was a really slow start for a player. But, we were all pumped for Hamilton going into this year. And let's see if he can keep it going. But, it was a bad start the first 2 weeks. He hadn't given us much.
Well, just all the other injuries around him, kind of had him playing back more than we all had hoped. So, I assumed that's where his role was going to stay. But it looked like he was, up near the box in the slot and all that pretty much the whole game. So that was a cool time for me to drop him.
I'll take a look here real quick. He majority of his time was in the slot. Yeah, so he was uptight. Just about three quarters of the time here, it looks like. Yeah, it's that's ideal, right, for this kind of IDP production. So let's keep that going, man, for Kaham, because he was a pretty popular breakout candidate for a good reason. So yeah, and then my I picked that was my defensive back linebacker. I took Terrell Bernard. He had 7 tackles, 5 solos, 2 tackles for loss, 2 sacks, 2 quarterback hits, an interception, pass defense, and a fumble recovery. Bernard's been fantastic, stepping up in that role next to Matt Milano, Tremaine Edmonds, his old role. And, you know, Bernard, he hit the ground running after, you know, we were talking in one of our chats with, I think John Tripp, me and you, Daryl, were talking in one of our league chats about how we were kind of surprised that Bernard just took off instantly the way he did, because he was dinged up in the preseason. I mean, you know, we didn't get to see him much, but wow. Dotson couldn't hold on to the job. And once Bernard was healthy, it was his, and he ain't giving it up, because he's been pretty dang solid. If you picked him up early in the year, you're pretty happy, right? He's probably been the biggest waiver wire pickup.
Yeah, well, he
came like they should have been starting him anyway.
Well, he was dinged up, like it was a hamstring injury that kept him out pretty much the entire preseason, and so it looked like all indications were Dotson's the guy. And then, like, right before the season kicks off, it's, hey, we're giving it to Bernard, and he's done nothing but, you know, sacks, interceptions every week. I mean, he's doing something, and it's amazing what he's pulling off. Like, because he did not look like that guy last year.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
No, he did not.
Then my defensive lineman, this is straight homer pick, a guy who had a huge day. Rashawn Gary, 3 solos, 3 tackles for loss, 3 sacks, and 4 quarterback hits. He was fantastic. Like I said earlier, I was at the game, and Rashawn Gary was just dominant while he was out there.
He did all that on 2 snaps.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Yeah, he's only been playing around 20 snaps a game. They're not rushing him back for a huge workload, you know, coming back off the ACL. But, man, when he's in there, he is just – creating havoc, man. I think he's got like a 28% pressure rate to start the year. He's only in there for a handful of snaps, and he just makes shit happen. And the defense is just different when he's on the field, man. He collapses that side. But yeah, he's, you know, I don't think they're going to, you know, necessarily keep pushing, you know, they're going to keep his snap share probably pretty minimal for a while until they're really comfortable, because you can't rush that guy back and get a setback, because that defense needs them. So the other pass rushers they're, you know, holding their own, whatever. Preston Smith's not really doing much, but he's getting the majority of the work. Enigbari's rotating in. Justin Hollins, we saw Van Ness get a sack, but then he got dinged up with an elbow injury. But Gary's a beast, and he was a wrecking machine on Sunday. So that was awesome. That's what I got. Sean, over to you, buddy.
Yeah, so for my defensive back, I took Levi Wallace, who had 6 tackles, 4 solos, 4 pass breakups himself, and then a pair of interceptions against the world-class Raiders the other night. I thought it was a pretty good game for a guy I like streaming throughout the year, especially the last few years. He's just one of those players I always go back to when the matchup looks right. He's one of the few I continuously stream throughout the year. So good game for him. And then for linebacker, look, Zaire Franklin has been a tackling machine all year. And he did it again this week. Another 15 tackles, 11 solos, tackle for a loss, hit on the quarterback, and got a sack on top of it. He's looked great. I was worried that he wouldn't be able to pull off what he did last year with Leonard coming back. How was that going to work out? Who was going to get the playing time? It's all the Franklin show right now.
Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of telling that they let Okereke go, right? That was the first time that, hey, maybe, you know, they believe in Franklin too. So, Leonard's had no impact on Franklin at all. It's been, like you said, it's been the Zaire Franklin show, and that's it. And I actually like EJ Speed a little bit. If you're really struggling for in a deep league, he's been doing okay too. So,
yeah, Speed Leonard is ceding snaps to EJ Speed pretty regularly here, yeah. Especially on the money downs. Leonard's not looked great.
No, he hasn't.
You know, so yeah, I just don't think
he's fully healthy.
You hate to see it. I mean, he was so awesome when he was at his peak, right? But he's just struggled with injuries, and he just hasn't looked good so far. And in Speed, I believe John Macri, shout out Macri, had tweeted out that the snap breakdowns after the games, and I think he had noted that Speed was getting the run on third downs because he's just all playing Leonard, you know. And when you're out there on the money downs, you know, Macri's all over that. So shout out Macri, and if you ain't following him, you're missing out. So yeah, it's looking like. Speed's role is just kind of growing here, and not quite full time or anything by any means, but the roles are changing there in Indianapolis after Zaire. But Zaire's just balling. I love that call.
Yeah,
he's been fantastic, yeah. And you got him towards, you know, the end of the big linebacker run too. So I mean, he was, for his production, you got him cheap.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, last guy, defensive line. I took Jaron Reed for the Seahawks. 8 tackles, 4 solos, tackle for a loss, knockdown a pass, 3 quarterback hits, and 1.5 sacks for a defensive tackle. That's pretty good. That's, you can't ask for much better than that.
That's a hell of a day of work on the interior.
Yeah, right.
Bit of a flashback, right? Jaron Reed. That's a name we've not really heard in quite a while. So,
yeah, for sure. And I think Draymond Jones got hurt, didn't he? He get dinged up? Hip injury, ankle, or something?
That sounds right. I'm not exactly
100%
sure.
Yeah, with the way it's been going, I wouldn't be surprised.
right. We'll just say he hurt something.
Yeah.
I'm going to just take a quick look. Yeah. He did leave with a hip injury.
Hip injury?
Yeah.
That's tough on those big guys. Mm-hmm. It might be easier just to name who isn't injured at this point.
Right.
Yeah. Good solid day for him. Yeah, he's been around forever. You know, he had a few big years way back in the day. Left Seattle. I think he went to Green Bay for a minute.
Jaron Reed. Yep. Yeah. He had a solid year for us, too. Yeah. He was a nice veteran pickup. For sure.
May have went somewhere else before that too, but yeah, he's back home with the Seahawks and had a pretty good day.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a good call. That's a hell of a day.
So yeah, I've got some season leaders for us. Kind of wanted to see what you guys thought about. Is there any surprises? Is it what you expected? Mm-hmm. And then I kind of wanted to do it and let all of our listeners, you know, give them kind of idea who's doing what, right? Who's performing the best at certain things and who's leading the way. So tackles, I don't feel like it's surprising. Zaire Franklin leads with 45. TJ Edwards is second with 43. And then Foyesad Oluku is third with 37. Franklin's just dominating, in my opinion. Kind of surprised to see Edwards that high with Terrell Edmonds and Eddie Jackson and all the guys that Sanborn and all the guys they have on defense. That was kind of one of the worries, right? Could he repeat some of the success he had last year with all these players around him? And it looks like he's able to do that so far.
Well, I know a lot of us had him ranked higher than Tremaine Edmonds. So I feel like we all kind of figured he would be the better of the two, but yeah, seeing him in the top three is a bit of a surprise. Franklin, a little bit of a surprise. I mean, these are all guys we expect to be LB1s this year. Foyer, we expect him to be top two, top three guy anyway. So it's not too much of a surprise, but at the same time, it's a little bit surprising.
Yeah. Right along with you guys, like Zaire and Foyer, those guys, yeah, not too surprised they're up there. I had Edwards ranked higher than Edmonds as far as the Chicago signings, just because I trust him a little more, yeah, as far as that steady tackle production. of the three, he would be the one I'm surprised is in the top three, but I'm not overly surprised because he's shown to be a pretty productive tackler. Just the new system, right? Like you guys said, would he be able to, you know, continue those? But yeah, pretty solid trio there of guys that we, you know, we expected to be productive. So,
Solo tackles. Now this one, these three, well, two of the three kind of surprised. So, Zaire Franklin again leading the way with 29. Safety Javon Holland for Miami with 23. And linebacker Quincy Williams for the Jets with 23. Holland and Williams are not two names that I expected to see be in the top three of solo tackles this early.
Yeah, with Holland, we were expecting a down year for him after, you know, the last few years in Miami with Vic Fangio coming in. We thought there'd be a lot more, you know, too high safety looks and would take him out of, you know, a lot of those, you know, box snaps and everything and getting up to make all those tackles. So yeah, he's a huge surprise up there in the top of solos. He's started off great this year too. So that was a good get. If you drafted him, I know you got him late and you got him cheap. So that's fantastic. And then Williams is a little surprising too. He had that really good first game when Rodgers got hurt and all against the Bills. That was, he was all over the field that day. I don't know if he can keep that up, but he is getting a lot of playing time. So good for those guys.
Absolutely. Yeah. Javon Holland, I was definitely off wrong on him. I was a little worried where his ADP was going about him playing a little bit too much deep in Miami, but he's been absolutely fantastic to start the year. You know, he's seeing some decent time up in the box in the slot area. He's not just hanging out, playing free safety deep, you know, with deep alignment. And, you know, he's been just fantastic to start the year. So yeah, definitely, he, you know, obviously if you were, he wouldn't be, a choice off the top of my head if you were asking me who's leading or second in the league in solo tackles. Right. Yeah, Zaire, not shocked. Quincy Williams has been really good too. He's had a really good start to the season. I got him as an LB3 or 4 in a few leagues, and I am super pumped about it. So, yeah, really, really digging the start he's having. So,
so we move on to sacks. Some of the usual names, right? Usual suspects. T.J. Watt leads the NFL with 6. Danielle Hunter is 2nd with 5, and Myles Garrett is 3rd with 4.5. I was telling somebody the other day, when he's fully healthy, Danielle Hunter is as good a pass rusher as you're going to find in this league. He's every bit as good as Garrett and Watt and some of those guys. He gets dinged up, and then and for fantasy, he gets a lot of tackles, right? A high tackle guy for a defensive end or a pass rusher, which you don't typically see. So, yeah, love to see him back up there where he belongs. But, yeah, those three, either one of those three have just been.
Nah, you nailed it, man. Hunter has been a tackle machine, you know, for an edge rusher and then gets, you know, a dozen sacks or better. So, but when he's healthy, you know, that's been the only knock against him the last couple of years. And, hey, you pretty much summed it up. He's fantastic. I've got him all over the place because I got him late. I got him cheap. You know, you had to pay up for Watt and Garrett, and both those guys have – well, Watt's looked fantastic. I was worried he was getting kind of up there in age a little bit, and with the injuries, he'd be a little slow. But, I mean, he's went off. And Myles Garrett, I mean, if he could play, you know, the Titans 2 more games this year, he'd have 115 sacks. It's trash. We all seen it.
Yeah, it is. I can't even lie about that. It's horrible. Quarterback hits. Kind of the same suspects. T.J. Watt leads with 12. Myles Garrett is 2nd with 10. Micah Parsons is 3rd with 8. at some point he just gets cranked up, right? But I mean, he's not been playing bad this year. He's just not had that huge gain yet, like the other ones has. That's kind of putting towards the top. But man, you have to account for him on every play. And if you get points for quarterback hits and pressures and stuff like that, then he's definitely somebody you got to have.
Yeah, that whole defense started up pretty hot. The team got smacked in the mouth a little bit this week going against Arizona. But, I mean, he still pulled off a sack. So, I'm not worried about him. He's right where I would expect him.
Yeah, I'm not worried about – maybe Parsons got four sacks, so he's right behind the other three. And, you know, that's Hunter, Parsons, Watt, Myles Garrett. You know, that's some of the usual suspects that we want to see up here, expect to see up here. But, yeah, these guys are having a great year. You guys nailed it with Danielle Hunter. He's just tearing it up in the Flores aggressive scheme there in Minnesota. I love that as well. And then, you know, TJ Watt just dominating. And Micah Parsons, he's doing Micah Parsons stuff. If you got these guys, they're, you know, like Sean said, but, you know, Danielle Hunter was a pretty good value. I agree. I got him a few spots. The rest of these guys, Parsons, Watt, Garrett, you had to pay up to get them, but they're producing. So love to see it.
Yeah. I've had a lot of shares of Hunter, and I've just kind of always held on to him just because of the high tackle numbers he gets to go with the sacks and everything. So I've kind of had to sit through some bad stretches, you know, with the injuries and stuff. But, man, like I said, when he's on, he's on. TFLs. So, it's, you know, it all kind of ties together here. Danielle Hunter leads the NFL with 7. Micah Parsons is 2nd with 5. And TJ Watt is tied at 2nd with 5. We kind of mentioned all three of them already. That just kind of shows you they do a little bit of everything, right? Sacks, quarterback, hits, tackles, the whole 9 yards.
Watch those are playing
interceptions,
the run as well, and on some of these screen passes. So
true, first, very true.
Absolutely. So yep, absolutely, yep.
Yep. Interceptions, and this one's kind of skewed because Jordan Whitehead had 3 in the very first game of the season, and he still has 3. Safety Jesse Bates, woohoo! Jesse Bates is back, baby. He's tied for 1st with 3, and Logan Wilson has 2. There's actually a bunch of players with 2, but he's just been playing so well. If you watch that game the other night, he was all over it again.
Hey, can we just say we've been a pro Logan Wilson podcast since his Wyoming days? So whenever he can get on a list, he's going on a list. Can we just establish that?
Yeah, damn right.
All right.
I'll drink to that.
I'll drink to that too.
I mean, it's like he just finds himself in the right spot. Hey, we seen it last night. Was it last night? Yeah.
Yeah. No.
What's the day? I don't even know what the day is, man.
Yep. I hear you.
Oh, so yeah. We seen him the other night. You know, get a couple of touches, and he has a nose for the football. He'd done that in previous years. He would get interceptions. And all. So those are instincts you can't really teach to always be around the ball like that. That's just a good player, man.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I hope everyone held on to Jesse Bates. I tried to tell him that, you know, he was too good of a player to just fall off like he kind of did. I think it was just, you know, they played him a little different. And I think the whole contract thing, Kyle, me and you talked about this shit for seems like years, right?
Oh, yeah.
And whether or not anyone would admit it, I think that has to wear on you, right? Because you want out, they don't want to pay you, but they don't want to let you go. It's just a whole mess. And I even kind of said it at the time, put him somewhere where he don't have to worry. Atlanta wanted to pay him, and they did. So now he can just play again, and you're seeing it. I think he's one of the best safeties in the league easily when he's on. I just think all this off-the-field stuff kind of – I think it took his toll on him, and nobody really wanted to admit it. But glad to see him back.
Last year in Cincinnati, him and Von Bell both had like a down year, so they got kind of shuffled underneath.
Yes, they did.
the higher stars and then all the new kids coming in from college, they got kind of forgotten about. And if you picked up either one of them, I mean, they're both doing pretty well right now. Mm-hmm. Jesse Bates is going off, so that's a good start. Right.
And Bates is getting the high tackle numbers again too, so that was kind of one of the things. His tackles fell off the last couple of years, but he's right back on it again. So
he may continue to get more with Anderson being out now. So that's, you know, we were mm-hmm. talking about.
I agree.
You know, Lindman or whatever taking that role, it could be Jesse Bates that benefits more than anybody, racking up more tackles there too. So,
PBUs. So this is probably in leagues where specific position, right? True position, where you have to start corners because you're getting those premiums now. Safeties and all these other plays, you're getting points for PBUs too, but it's really more at the corners and even the defensive tackles, you know, because they can get up and back passes. But Alante Taylor, we just talked about him having 5 this past week, so he's leading the NFL with 7. Go Vols. What's interesting is his teammate, Marshawn Lattimore, is 2nd with 4. And then you have Denzel Ward of Cleveland with 5.
If I'm not mistaken, Isaac Yadam or whatever was also got 3 or 4 this past week. So there was a lot. They were lucky they didn't just get a bunch of interceptions. You know, the Saints didn't just take them off of them. That's a lot of breakups.
We were lucky to win that game. I could tell
it was
you
like 13 pass breakups, and those 3 corners took up the majority of them. So yeah. Luck is with Green Bay right now.
Yeah, I can tell you what. I have to keep talking about Green Bay, but that 4th quarter was crazy.
That was a good game.
That 4th quarter was crazy at Lambeau. It was that first half was rough to watch, and then the ending was fantastic. But yeah, those Saints corners played well. Alante Taylor was freaking everywhere. If he's sitting on your waiver wire in a CB league, like, get that dude. Even if you're in a league where you start like 4 DBs, right? In a combined format, if you're starting 4, 3, 4 defensive backs, like, Alante Taylor's solid, man.
Right. Fantasy points. And I know everybody's got, when it comes to IDP, all the leagues are kind of different or whatever. So this is pulled from the IDP Nation Listener League 2 scoring setup. So you can go check that over. Go over there and check that out if you want to know the scoring. But at the top scoring IDP is TJ Watt with 98 points. To give you a reference compared to offense, he is the 2nd highest scoring player overall. Only Tyreek Hill has scored more points than him fantasy-wise in that league. So you can kind of see the balance that we have with defense. Danielle Hunter is 2nd with 88.9, and he's 5th overall in the league. And then linebacker Zaire Franklin, 87.5 points, which is 7th overall. So you got 3 IDPs in the top 7, and kind of a little bit of a mix, right? You've got a true linebacker, you've got a true edge and Hunter, and then you've got TJ Watt, who's kind of position wise, lack of a better term, he's a tweener, right? He's kind of plays the linebacker, but he's a pass rusher. So, any of those 3 stand out to you guys?
Man, they've all been good. We've talked about pretty much all of them so far. They're all going off, and that's what we expected.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it correlates with going down the list of the league leaders. These guys showed up a bunch as we talked through it, and you know that they're having fantastic starts to the year, and you love to see those IDP guys hanging with the offensive guys, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
As far as where they fall on the list, so. Yeah, love to see it.
So I wrote down 3 names. We've kind of talked about 2 of them for our main event, and maybe you guys have got some more names. Some hot off the waiver wire pickups. So I know Sean mentioned Geno Stone, safety for Baltimore, who is someone I like a lot too. I think if you're needing a safety, he's a good, solid pickup that's going to do well. We talked about Deion Jones, right? I'm kind of with you guys. I don't know if it's going to be him or Grizzer Hill or what the deal is, right? So I guess we just kind of got to wait and see. But if you're hurting in a super deep league, I kind of think Jones is at least worth a pickup. And then if you've been following my IDP rookie recap, Keytrell Clark, corner for Arizona, man, has just been balling out down there in Arizona right now. The pass deflections, the tackles, the whole nine yards. So if you're screaming corners, he's one that you can probably pick up off of waivers really easy.
So, yeah, John Gannon has that defense playing really well. Like, the Cardinals overall, we're not expecting a lot out of them. That defense has showed up pretty much all three games. It's all been against NFC East, which is where he came from, you know, coaching with the Eagles there. So I don't know if it's that familiarity with those teams or if his defense is really just playing that good. He's rotating guys everywhere, too. So, I mean, it's a whole group effort. Clark is one of the ones that is a consistent, you know, solid starter. We talked about Kevon Wallace earlier, Kazir White. I mean, all those guys are just rock solid.
Right.
I don't think he's getting enough credit. And that defense itself isn't getting enough credit. These are all guys that a lot of them are still sitting on the waivers and a bunch of teams that you should be picking up and putting them in. Clark, great rotational piece, you know, streaming. If you want to pick him up, hold on to him. You're like, do it. He's getting the time. He's in the production that you need for fantasy. It's a good call, man. I like it.
Yeah. No, I dig it, man. We hit on a lot of the linebackers. We talked about the Carolina guys, Deion Jones, Grugier Hill. We talked about McDuffie if Campbell's out. A couple of pass rushers I like. It's probably more of a shallower league, I guess, is Samson Ebukam in Indianapolis. He's had a really nice start to the season. Him and Kwity Paye have been a really good duo for the Colts so far. Another defense that's been playing pretty well. He got home for another sack this week. He's playing right around 60% of the snaps. Pretty nice snap share so far. And the next couple weeks, he's got some nice matchups. He gets the Rams, and then he gets the Titans. That, you know, so two pretty.
Hey,
just saying. So
that's some money.
Yeah, right. So Ebukam's been playing well, and you know he's got some favorable matchups coming up. So if he's available, I like him. Rookie that has been playing really really well. For the Chargers, Tui Pulotu. Joey Bosa's been on a snap count here with that hamstring, and Tui Pulotu has had a 77% snap share in each of the last two games. And this last week, he had 9 pressures against Minnesota, so he was wreaking havoc off the edge, sacking back-to-back games. And the Chargers have a bye this week, or are bye in week 5. So I wouldn't think they would up Joey Bosa's snap count right before they go on a bye and he gets a week off. So I'm expecting Tuia Pulotu to get another solid workload because he's played well. And why rush Bosa back if you can sit him on the couch for a week during a bye and let him rest up? He's been better with like 20 snaps anyway. So yeah,
right.
I really like what I've seen on Tuia Pulotu playing well. He was a second round pick for the Chargers, and he's been really good. If he's floating around and deep, you know, obviously if he's available in a dynasty league, grab him right away. I don't know that he would be, but absolutely stash him. And redraft, deeper redraft leagues, if you got a bench spot, need a pass rusher.
I've picked him up. Khalil Mack isn't doing a whole lot. He's still got a lot of playing time, but you know, we're seeing how you say his name? Tui Pulotu.
Tui Pulotu.
Okay, that's my guess.
Yeah, it's the best I can do. Best I can do. I don't know if that's right.
So him, we've seen him and Bosa on the field at the same time together too, especially against Tennessee the other day. And that was, you know, those two together, I mean, they were converging a lot. So I would like to see him take over Khalil Mack's role, who looks just – he looks done for the most part. He's just not producing much. I would like to see them two, like say, after the bye week with a fully healthy Bosa. I mean, I think those two could really do something. It's what we would expect Bosa and Mac to put up. That's a good call, man.
Oh, yeah. He's a fun player. Yeah, he's a fun player, and he's playing really well. And then just a couple defensive backs. If Brian Branch is floating around your waiver wire, scoop him up too. Yeah. Another rookie. He had a huge game, 11 solos, 3 tackles for loss, 2 passes defended. He played, if this was his first game getting a 100% snap share, never came off the field, played 67 snaps, 46 of them in the slot and 15 of them in the box. So he is playing uptight as that nickelback slot defender for Detroit. And he played really good this week. And that snap share continues. He's going to really have some nice production for us. And then the other one was Amani Hooker for your Titans, Daryl. He had a nice week one, couldn't clear concussion protocol, came back in week 3, 11 tackles, 9 solos. His role is usually pretty conducive to IDP production. It's just a matter of health with Hooker, but he's probably floating around in a number of leagues if you need a DB. So,
Another one I would add is this Christian Azeen for Tampa Bay. Man, he has been playing life out down there for them. So, which Tampa Bay, I know they kind of met their match last night, but for the most part, they played way above expectations this year. Starting 2-0 or whatever. So, Baker seems to be all right, a good fit down there. But that defense, I think they're going to be on the field quite a bit, and I think, with, you know, Mike Edwards gone and some of the younger pieces they've got back there, other than Winfield, I mean, he's not old, but, you know, I think they're trying to get a little bit younger and a little more athletic. So, Azeem's been a playmaker back there for him.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure.
I've been picking up a lot here as Byron Young, go Vols. And, for the Rams, he's got at least half a sack in every game.
Playing a ton, a lot more
than expected, but playing next to Aaron Donald, it frees you up. So, he's getting like 90%. You got Aaron Donald over taking up 3 guys. Hey, I only got to beat this guy. So, he's producing. He's been a good surprise, good rookie to pick up.
I like that call.
It was a safety, Darnell Savage. Here we go. We'll throw the
package.
He's been really solid.
Yeah.
And he's still out there all over the waivers. I've been picking him up left and right. Like he's had at least 7 tackles every game. I mean, he's looked good. He's looked real good.
He's been playing much better. Even like, so last year he struggled at the beginning of the year. Then he got moved to the nickel, and then he got kind of forced back into safety at the end, and he played a lot better at the end of the year. And then he's played really well the beginning of this year. That's a really good call. I'm glad I'm not the only one that feels that way. And I'm just not the homer sitting here calling.
He's looked good every game this year. And then Rudy Ford's looked good right beside him the last 2 games.
Yeah.
They got a good little tandem going on. So, stream them.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely stream them. They're available right in a lot of leagues. And I was really worried about our safety situation heading into the year.
Oh, yeah.
Sean, I think when we were on with Gary and Johnny, I was like, they might go to training camp and go, oh shit. We got a
problem. That's right. Because I mean, it was Owens 1 game, then it was Ford 1 game, and then it was Thomas or
Tavarius Moore.
Tavarius Moore, there you go.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean it was just like nobody was just running off with it, and we're like, oh man, this is gonna be bad. And Ford has stepped up. Maybe he's been great, man.
Yeah, no, so, for sure.
Prayers were answered for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Another one that I've kind of been watching, I kind of noticed him a little bit last year, but it looks like he's getting a lot more run this year, and that's Josh Metellus, the safety for the Vikings, right? Harrison Smith, another Tennessee guy locally here. He's not getting any younger, right? I mean, he's had one hell of a career, so at some point you got to imagine he's going to hang it up. So they need somebody in his spot or to take over. You know, they drafted Lewis Seen last year. He set out basically all year, hasn't done much this year. It's been Metellus who's kind of stepped up in that role and getting a lot of run back there. So, you know, again, if you're looking for a player in like a deeper top league, you know, you could do a lot worse than him. And I don't even mean to say that he's bad, because I think he's a decent option for you. So,
he's getting a lot of slot work, right?
Yeah, they've kind of moved him around a little bit, but he's been primarily in the slot.
Yeah, I mean, him and Bynum,
which
either one of those guys have been.
Which over the years, the slot is the place, if you can figure out who's playing the slot week to week on any team, that's a fantasy producer right there. So,
well, they usually get less snaps, but they get a lot more of the targets. And that's what you need to get the tackles or, you know, pass breakups, you know, interceptions, whatever. Right. If they're not throwing at you,
because they usually blitz from that spot too. So there's some, depending on which team, there's different roles, you know, but there's a lot. I think there's more impact play opportunities while the volume might be less. The impact plays are a little bit bigger, I think.
I just checked Metellus's alignment, and 78 of his 176 have been in the slot and another 58 in the box. So you got 136 of 176 in the box and slot. So he's playing uptight. You got to like
practically a linebacker at this point. I mean, he's up there at the line. So yeah, he's getting all the looks. He's playing the run, dropping back. I mean, he's everywhere. So that's what you want. And we've seen with Brian Flores in the past with the Dolphins, what he did for Javon Holland and Brandon Jones, with the blitzes, moving those guys all over, you know, mixing it up. So he's pretty much brought that, and Metellus has been a big beneficiary of that. And Cameron Bynum was the other guy that's really went off this year too. So,
yeah. No, for sure. Yeah, all three of them. And Metellus, just looking, you know, I'm looking at the alignment, I'm looking at the PFF grades, and Metellus is, you know, he's a 72.9 coverage grade, 72.3 tackle grade, 75.6 overall defensive grade. So he's getting extra run and he's playing well. So it's all a positive sign, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So that's some guys that we kind of have been looking at waiver wire that we'd like you to pick up. I think those are all great additions. Seems like there's a lot more safeties, but
that's typical.
If it's an upgrade for your team, who cares, right?
It's a volatile position, man. That's why you can't draft them high. That's because these guys are going to show up, and that's
– Yep.
We didn't have to pay up anything for them. If you paid up for Jeremy Chinn, you're sitting there – you're pissed off because you got Metellus sitting here going off
For nothing. For the price of a mouse click. Shout out Johnny the Greek.
Right. So we got a few listener questions. Again, thank you all for sending these in. Some weeks we almost do a full show on them, and then some we have three or four. But either way, we're glad to help. And like I've told you guys, I think this is one of the funner parts of IDP Nation, getting to be more one-on-one with people, breaking down their rosters or their questions. For me, it's just the funner part of the stuff. But so all three of these come from Reddit. Our first one comes from Jurassic Crumb, and he says, what's the deal with the Texas linebackers? Is Harris worth anything moving forward with his snap percentage going down and Toho Toho's role increasing every week? I told him I think Harris is still worth a little something right now just because he's so young, but Toho Toho is the guy you want. I mean, he's too smart for them to not have on the field, and he's producing. So if I have to pick between two, I'm taking Toho Toho.
Yeah, absolutely. Texans already made that pick. And it's, you know, all offseason they were, you know, pumping Harris's ego. You know, he's the guy. He's going to lead us. Well, Perryman came in right away, took the dot, took that full role. We watched Harris just drop. I mean, even last year when he had 100% snaps, he didn't really do anything with them. I mean, he had a few decent games, but we're looking at just decent. There was nothing great. He was just a guy, basically. And that's what he still is. I mean, he's not doing anything with the opportunity he's getting. So, yeah, it's Perryman. Toa has taken his job, and it's Harris is being phased out. With Perryman's injury history, I mean, he still has some value right now. I don't know what it would take to what you could actually get back to try to move him if you were trying to trade him off. He's basically, you're just going to have to throw him in a trade just to get rid of him, I would think. Doesn't have a lot of value right now.
Yeah, I agree. No, I'm with you there, Sean. Yeah, Harris, I'm out on Harris. Perryman's the lead guy there when he's healthy. And then it looks like Toto has passed Harris pretty easily here. And, you know, like you even look at the snap shares this week, Toto led the way 95%. And then Blake Cashman actually outsnapped Harris. 63% snap share for Cashman and 61% for Harris. So they're about even, but Cashman got him by a couple snaps. It's not good. I think, and you know, once Perryman comes back, it's Perryman and 2-0 and Christian Harris is, you know, like Sean said, he's not there. This regime's guy. They drafted 2-0 and you know, obviously, yep. And Harris just, you know, he hasn't played well. You know, so he did just really, like Sean said, yeah. He hasn't done anything to separate himself. So I don't think you're getting much for him. I don't have a whole lot of hope that anything changes here when all are healthy. So,
right. And the thing with Toa Toa, he's not the biggest, he's not the fastest, he's not the strongest.
Right.
But by God, he is one of the smartest.
Yeah.
You know, you heard that when he played for Tennessee. You heard that at Alabama. I mean, Nick Saban just don't throw that out there as far as football IQ. So, I think that's kind of why Houston drafted him. And you're seeing now that that's why he's on the field starting, right? I mean, he is your quarterback of your defense more or less. Yep. So he knows where to get people lined up. He knows how to, you know, change defensive calls and all that stuff. So, I think he's just going to be a solid player for you from here on out. But, I definitely think Harris has dropped, his value's dropped. But I don't know that you can quite get rid of him unless you're in a shallow league because you've probably got something invested in him, right? You just don't want to give up all at once, but I mean, if you could still stash him somewhere on taxi, maybe I'd be okay with that. But I definitely think Toa Toa is the guy to have. Our next one is from Steel Fox 7, and Sean, this is probably more in your wheelhouse because you do a lot more redraft than me and Kyle here. And he says, in redraft leagues, is Jalen Phillips breakout season postponed another year? And he says he has shallow benches, so stashing players is very costly. So he don't have a lot of room to stash a player that's kind of not performing. I know redraft's a lot different from dynasty. What's your thoughts on his redraft?
The biggest part of that is it really just depends who's out there on the wire. If there is a better player, somebody producing right now that you need, then yeah, sure, dropping. He hasn't quite produced, but he's been injured. So, I mean, that's part of it. We can't predict the injuries. We don't know how long that'll last. It could be something that nags him all season. So we may not get that breakout season like we were all hoping. But in redraft, if there's no point in holding on to anybody that is not producing if you have a good viable option to pick up. Now, if you're, you know, just going to drop him for like Lucas Van Ness, I would say no, because Van Ness is, you know, somebody that's rotational. He's not going to get a lot of snaps until maybe late in the season or unless, you know, a major injury occurs. So it really just depends on who's out there. But I've got no problem with you dropping him for somebody that's going out there and getting you that can get you the points you need right now. Especially with a set shallow bench. Right. I mean, that's tough to manage. So you need points. And if you're not getting them, then get the guys who are. That's about the simplest answer I can give you there.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. Shallow bench
league. Yeah, I almost feel like it's go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say, shallow bench league, if you know, he's struggling to stay healthy, you got to score points, man. And if he's not playing, he's not going to get – he had an awesome week one, 11 tackles, a half a sack. You know, it was a big first week. We loved it. And then he was hurt. And then this week didn't do a whole lot. You know, Dynasty, I'm not worried about him. I think he is one of the up-and-coming pass-rushing talents. Always been a talented dude. We've seen it. Still holding them in Dynasty for sure. But shallow redraft league, like Sean said, if you got viable options on the wire that are scoring, I get it. You know. Back to you, Daryl.
Yeah, I agree with you guys. I agree with you. We got one more, and he's got like four questions here. So this is Rad_Centrist. And he says, the first question is, when will the Lions finally wake up and make Campbell a full-time player? He's consistently outperformed his playing time, which has increased every week. I went back and told him, I said, it's happening. I don't know why they didn't start him from the get-go, because they clearly seemed to like him all offseason, right? Maybe they just wanted the veteran guys in there to kind of ease him in. But he's right. When you watch the tape, when you watch the film, the little sample size of plays that he's getting, he's just running with it, right? And I think he's by far better than any of the linebackers they have. So I think it's time now, and you're starting to see him giving more and more. I think it's just time to, hey, deep in, push him off and let him go, right? Because I think it's going to make them a better team overall.
Well, I mean, they hinted at that during the offseason when they drafted him, that they weren't going to start him right away. I don't know what Anzalone has on this coaching staff, but it's something pretty smart if he's still the guy there. But, I mean, Derek Barnes is the guy who's really taken off this year. That first game, you know, against Kansas City, Campbell came in. Everybody remembers him diving and knocking that pass away. But looking at some of the other plays, he looked like a rookie. He was kind of out of position here and there.
Right.
He's going to get better. It's going to come eventually. I don't know if right now it's more because they're locked in as they're looking for playoffs. They're not settling for, you know, just a decent season. They're looking to make some noise in the playoffs this year. And I think because he is a rookie, that's holding him back a little bit. So if they were like 0-3 right now, I bet they would throw him in no problem right now and just go let him learn. It's going to come eventually. But for whatever reason, it's not now.
I think so too. I just don't know what they're waiting on. I mean, Barnes has played very well so far this season.
Mm-hmm.
Anzalone, we've talked at length about this. Had they known they were getting Campbell, I don't think they would have ever re-signed Anzalone in the offseason. But they had no idea that they were going to be able to get him at the 18th pick, right? And I'm with you. I don't know what he has on the coaching staff, making pictures of their wife or something. I don't know what's going on.
It's got to be something, right?
But it's got to be something. But clearly Campbell is outperforming, like he said, outperforming his snap count. So they need to find a way to get him on. It's the same thing with Toa Toa, right? They're just too good to not be on the field. So you have to find a way to get him on there and let him play. His next one is, and y'all were kind of talking about this a minute ago. So is all the hope finally lost for Jeremy Chinn? What are the Panthers thinking keeping him at nickelback and reducing his snap percentage? I told him, I don't think all hope is lost, but man, for me, his value is plummeting, right? And it's plummeted to a point that I don't have hardly any shares of him. And all the leagues that I have, I only have a couple shares of Chen. So it's kind of disappointing and whatever. You probably got a lot invested in him, whether it's trade or draft capital. I don't know. He's just, for me, it's not, I don't want to say all hope is lost, because I think there's, you know, with Shaq Thompson being gone now, maybe there's a role there, like y'all mentioned. He could play some linebacker for him. What are you guys thinking?
With, like, say, with Shaq Thompson injured, Frankie Louvu injured, Xavier Woods injured, that's a linebacker role. That's a safety role. I mean, he can fill any of those. If he doesn't produce with these injuries, I would say he's not going to. So I would think they got to move him around somewhere, because they do have enough cornerbacks there that somebody could fill that nickel role. I believe Troy Hill is there, and that's what he's known for, is being that slot guy, that nickel guy. Put him there, put Chen either in a safety position or up at the line in a linebacker role and turn him loose. I mean, I think that's the best thing they could do. I do not know if that's what they will do. But if I think this next week or two will be very telling on his value for the rest of the season with these injuries.
Yeah, I totally think you're the other, Sean. I totally agree with you. With all the injuries in Carolina at linebacker, safety, and whatnot, if Jeremy Chen doesn't start seeing a full-time snap share, that's a problem, right?
Yeah,
because yeah. That's a problem. This keeps up with all they've lost, then yeah, I'm really out at that point.
Something else we were kind of talking about earlier is Terrell Bernard for real, right? I think he is. We talked about how he kind of was dinged up. Dotson had his shot, you know, and not just this year, but last year too. And he never really impressed, right? He never impressed me. I don't think he really impressed Buffalo. A lot of people thought that once Tremaine Edmonds left, that this was his job to keep. And I, you know, they drafted Dorian Williams, but I think he's, you know, he's still got some growth he's got to go through, which I do like him. But I think Bernard, of the three, is the better talented player, right? The more ready now player. Dotson just, for me, I don't have any Dotson, so, and I just never liked him in that role. I thought it was going to be Bernard or nothing.
No, go ahead, Sean.
That's we all thought it was Dotson. That's the Bills had that thing going on for the last year or two, where, you know, this is Tremaine Edmonds' spot. This is his direct backup. So if he leaves the game, then Dotson comes in. If Milano was out, then Bernard would come in. There was never like a top backup. It was more like position specific on who was the direct backup there. So that's where we came in with that. Dotson looked like the guy all off season. Bernard was injured, and then out of nowhere he came in and is just been the steal of, you know, fantasy right now for on the IDP side. He's done nothing but go off. So unless he fails a PED test, then he's for real. Unless, like I said, unless something like that comes up and we're like, oh, that's why he's going off. But now he looks for real to me.
Yeah, I don't got much to add. I think you guys covered it. Dotson ain't the guy. As soon as Bernard got healthy, they gave the job to him right away, and he's run with it until he looks real right now. Until he proves not, I'm saying it's, you know, he's the real deal, and he's been the premier waiver wire pickup as far as linebackers for sure.
Right, and then his last question is: Kazir White hype has finally come to bear, or has his hype finally come to bear? has his game truly elevated this year? I think it has, right? I think so far he's probably off to one of his best starts of his career. I just like the way that he's been playing to start the season. I think compared to probably where you drafted him or what you gave up to get him, he's giving you a good return right now.
Yeah, I got Kazir White as like my LB 4-5 in a bunch of leagues, and him coming over with John Gannon from Philadelphia, so he already kind of knew that system that he was going to bring with him. So he was pretty much handpicked for it. He's going off as well. He's looked fantastic. I don't know long term what this is going to look like, but for this season, yeah, he looks for real to me. And I couldn't be happier with the value I got for him. Yep. I mean, like I said, LB 4-5, he was an afterthought. So yeah, free.
Right.
Yep.
And he's kind of like a proven player, because like 2021, he had 144 tackles with the Chargers, right? That's who drafted him. They let him go. He goes to Philadelphia last year, has 110, and they let him go, and now he's in Arizona, so he's a third different team, and he's already on a torrid pace. He's got 30 tackles in 3 games, so he's averaging 10 a game right now. You were talking about his long-term value. I kind of like it right now because they don't have anybody else. They moved Zaven Collins. They've moved him up to a pass rusher pretty much. You got rid of Isaiah Simmons, who clearly they were right that he wasn't good, because he goes to New York and he's not doing nothing any there either. So right. I don't think that Arizona really has anybody else unless they draft somebody. But even then, you're kind of banking on a rookie at that point. So I think, you know, as long as White does what he's doing right now all year, I think there's a good chance of him being able to produce past this season.
Yeah, I was a big Kazir fan this offseason with the value you could get him at, as you guys were talking about. Gannon brought him over. You know, you looked at the LB room around him, Chris Barnes, 2-down thumper, Josh Woods, you know, role player type guys. They drafted Owen Popole from Auburn, who I kind of liked. He obviously tested well. He ran a blazing 4.3, 940 or whatever it was. But he was a guy that was going to need to, I think me and Daryl had talked about, he's going to need a little time to develop, you know, instinctually and, you know, get used to playing in the league. You know, he could be something down the road, but I wasn't expecting him to do too much as a rookie. So it just looked like Kazir White was going to be the mainstay in the middle of that defense. And he was, like Sean was saying, you could get him as an LB 4 or 5, and you're just reaping the rewards of a crazy value. And yeah, I'm pumped because I got him on quite a few teams too. So I think, you know, Gannon brought him over for a reason, because he knew the system. He knew, and again, he knew the player. White knew the system. Needed somebody to anchor the middle. And like Sean said earlier, this Arizona defense is fighting, you know, for a team that I thought was going to be a complete dumpster fire. Their defense is playing well.
They look like trash on paper.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Then they go and beat Dallas. But yeah, Kazir White, I think he's going to, as long as he stays healthy, I think he's going to be real solid week to week this season.
Yeah, I think he is too. Let's see here. That kind of does it for our listener league questions. Anything else you all want to talk about that we've kind of missed? Or
My sources say that the Dolphins are winning the Super Bowl this year. So,
Sources say.
You're fired. Yeah. Didn't I fire you at the beginning of the show?
You can't defend the Titans winning it, can you? I would love to hear your argument.
They wouldn't win the shit bowl right now.
We'll be seeing that this weekend between Denver and Chicago.
Oh my god. Oh, first person to two prime time,
and we all have to watch it. Like, I want to know what the ratings for that would be. It's got to be awful.
Yeah.
Past. I don't know, but I've been going to bed early because that will be a shit show.
Yeah, that's a 2-0 overtime win for somebody.
Definitely.
Who wants it less?
Yeah.
Right. So good stuff. Good stuff. Kyle, glad to have you back finally. That you found time to fit us into your so busy schedule. There we go.
It'll here take us go. A while to save the money up to bring you back again. So bear with us.
Yeah. I'm surprised he remembers our names. He's been gone so long.
Oh, here we go.
They wrote him down. I've been watching him look at his hands.
I got notes notes everywhere. Yeah. All over my walls looking around.
Room full of post-its.
No, man, seriously, it's good to be back, man. This was fun. You guys have been holding it down, and, it's awesome to be back. Thanks for letting me come back, you know.
Oh, man, we love having you back.
Yeah. Appreciate it, man.
You're welcome. I mean, you have to thank Sean. You really owe Sean.
Oh, I knew how you voted. Don't worry.
It was one-sided. I ain't gonna lie.
I feel No, it was good to have you back, man. We missed you. So, I saw you had an article today post over at the Football Guys. So, tell everybody what you're working on, what you've been doing.
Yeah, writing the IDP waiver wire article over at Football Guys this season. I did it last year. Asked me to do it again this year, and so just doing that, and just kind of adjusting my dynasty ranks when I get a chance, and that's about it, man. And it's been a wild beginning to the season with the amount of injuries we just covered today was like 1 week, a little bit from week two. Week one wasn't easy on us. Both sides of the ball, it's been brutal. We were talking about it earlier. Paying attention and making sure you're throwing out a starting roster with players actively playing. Stay alive as long as you can and stick with it. I'm just trying to throw some options out there on the waiver wire on the defensive side, and offensive side is the same story. Try to find guys that are playing. It's been a brutal run. But, yeah, anyway, that's what I'm doing over there. I'm not posting a ton on Twitter, but I'm around. If anybody has any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Cool. Sean, what are you working on? Anything over at the IDP guys? I know you've been doing some stuff with them.
Yeah, I've been doing start sits for just different games each week, just picking a couple games here and there, and just going through that, and then follow it up a few days later on the on just kind of the review and who to pick up on your waivers. Sunday mornings I've been hopping on with the guys doing the live stream, which has been a lot of fun doing that, just live start sit questions. So anybody's welcome to jump on there and ask away. We'll try our best to answer it and maybe save you some headaches and pick the right guys for you. It's hit or miss, so you either love us or hate us.
So I've got the IDP Davy Stock Market, the IDP Stock Market, and then I'm doing the IDP Rookie Recap each week articles, so you can check those out. Of course, we're doing IDP Nation, the IDP Grind, doing Shoot the Gap with Nate. Been having a lot of fun with that on Wednesday night, so make sure to tune in tomorrow night and watch that. When the season gets here, it's like there's not enough time. Like, I'm doing this and I'm trying to do this, and
it's just going really fast and really slow at the same time. Like it's boom, 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 getting stuff done.
Well, no, I told Justice, listen to Dig, I told him, I was like, man, this is week five of the college football season if you're counting week zero. Mm-hmm. That's almost halfway of the fantasy college season already. Crazy, crazy.
Yep.
If you don't have anything else, I think that's it for tonight. We'll be back next Tuesday. So make sure you get your questions in, all that good stuff. We love to help out with those. Good luck on your fantasy teams this week. May you avoid all the injuries, because, man, the injuries have just been insane. Luckily, I've been able to avoid most of them. So, with that said, I'll probably every player I have will probably break his leg this week.
You okay. Just yeah, ruined it.
Jinxed it. Yeah.
Well, you know what? Even if they do, they're probably still better than Denver's defense.
Fair.
Yeah, that's horrible. Really, Sean. Did I not fire you at the beginning? Why are you still here?
You know how long it's been since I could be like really, really proud of the Dolphins. Like this is fantastic. Like I don't even know if it's real. Like I keep pinching myself. Like I've never seen a beat down that bad, and I didn't know it'd be, you know, from my Dolphins. So I'm elated right now.
Yeah, I'd say you just let it rip. You have every opportunity to just let it rip right now. You just dropped 70 in a game. I mean,
yeah. Wow, dude. That's unheard of at this level, professional level.
I mean, we've seen a lot. What was it?
Points bad.
Yins were like 6-7 yards from breaking the yardage record, I think, for a single game, too.
Yeah, from like what 1950 something. Like it was way back there.
Wow.
Yeah, all the way back in the 1900s.
I think it was like they needed 6 or 7 yards to break it. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, they like I said, it was at the mercy of Mike McDaniels there to not completely historically embarrass the whole Broncos organization.
Unbelievable.
So I feel like
I wish he would have. That would have been the greatest thing ever.
I respect it. I respect him not going for it. Just from a karma standpoint. Yeah. You know, next week everybody breaks their leg and we're down to nothing. So
yep.
The football gods are cool and fickle, and we got to respect.
Yes, they are.
Right. Well, that does it for this week. Like I said, we'll be back next Tuesday. We'll try to do a Patreon if you guys want to next Tuesday. We'll try to do one, get that covered. But yeah, be sure to follow us. You can follow me at Hollywood Titan. You can find Kyle at K Bellafuel 54. And you can find Sean at Sean underscore 8386.
No underscore, just Sean 8386.
See, why you got to bust my bubble? I thought I'd done something
else. Well, you should be right and I won't have to.
It's that simple.
Yeah.
Again, did I not fire you earlier?
I don't have a pink slip in front of me anywhere, so.
Well, check your mailbox. It'll be there shortly.
Yeah. I'm worth a stamp? Nice.
But yeah, hit us up on Twitter. Well, it's more like you have to pay the postage when it gets
there. Oh, okay. What are them collect calls?
Yeah. But, yeah, we'll be back next week. Get all your questions, trades, whatever into us. We'll be more than glad to help you. And with that, we are